If you or a loved one has had thoughts of self-harm, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits! Suplex City Limits!
It's 2019, you know, I could watch chick fist her butt on my phone in like 2 seconds.
And Tyler Fudge!
I don't care about your beefs with people, Bruce Prichard, you're an ugly old fucking weird dude.
Suplex City Limits!
Welcome to Thank You for Downloading episode 208 of Suplex City Limits for April 7th, 2019. Puff Puff Pass, it's your boy, the King of Blanc Style, Jim Vicious, and he's the original Canadian Destroyer, my co-host.
I can't do one better than Ricky Morton, but I can destroy you. I'm Tyler Fudge.
How bizarre was that, dude?
Oh, man, that was insane.
So this was like the craziest weekend of pro wrestling ever.
It was. It really was. I've seen so many tweets that personified this weekend as a whole so well. And oh, go to my Twitter. I think I retweeted them all.
There you go. We're going to get into that shit. If you can like this show, so supporting it by becoming a teacher at Pro Wrestling Tees. You can also donate on our Patreon. Let me get back to that. Let's go back to the Twitter. You can follow me at Suplex City Limit. Follow Tyler at the Federation. Things are a little off kilter. It's a wake and bake Sunday.
It is. So. It is. We are very, very, you know, exhausted, I think, from all the wrestling.
Yeah, I was exhausted from that and just days of sitting in front of the TV getting high, watching wrestling. So you can donate on our Patreon, become a producer of the show, like bad motherfuckers, Caleb Morganfield, new to the Patreon, Mr. Joe Justice. Oh. He's a money mark this week on this on pay-per-view take two.
He ain't chosen Festus, he's Joe Justice.
Yeah, he's way better than Festus, Joe Justice. Infamous Chris Savage, our friends at the Smack It Down podcast. Check them out everywhere podcasts are found. They cover a lot of shit that we don't. WXW, Progress, etc. Plus, they have cool Australian accents. So, they can't fuck me.
The toilets go backwards.
Yeah, exactly. And their pussies are sideways. B-Rad Brad. Fucking shout out to him. He was at the MSG show yesterday.
Yeah, well, see, there was that one point in time where I said to Travis, like, Travis, I think I just seen B-Rad Brad take a picture.
Oh yeah, he was there.
Yeah, and then
he was like five rows in.
Yeah. So it was him. I knew it was him. Fuck yeah. Yes. Fuck yeah, B-Rad Brad. I'm jealous of you. And then we also seen the B plus players, the lead singer of the B plus players, take a picture.
Yeah. All right. Shout out to those boys. The Ricearoni Jabroni, Ty Loney, Kick Ass Keith Martin, Jumpin' and Jeremy Fultz, and Sanian Jackson, Max's Garage. And plain vanilla Martin Corns. Today on my plain vanilla Martin Corns, I'm putting it into a cup and filling the rest with root beer for a root beer vanilla Martin Corns. Slow.
Sounds a little chunky.
Yeah, what would you like to do with your plain vanilla Martin Corns this week?
You know what, man? I've always been a fan of just plain vanilla. Call me boring, but I can go to Dairy Queen and say, "Can I get a Blizzard with no toppings, please. Just the ice cream." I love vanilla ice cream. So
a Blizzard with nothing?
Yep. Just a bowl of soft serve vanilla. I love it. But anyways, that's me saying, Martin Corn, I love you just the way you are. Stay fresh.
Vanilla ice cream Blizzard? No, that's a Blizzard. Like, you want ice cream in a cup then, motherfucker?
Yeah, well, see, how do you get ice cream in a cup in Dairy Queen? I tried. It's hard. It's just hard. Mm. I asked once, can I just get a cup of vanilla ice cream? And they asked me if I wanted a box of Dilly Bars. And I was like, no, bitch. A cup of soft serve. Not Dilly
Dairy. Is this in French Canada?
No, this is here in Grand Prairie. I used to live right next door to a Dairy Queen.
Oh, God. I'd be dead if I lived next to a Dairy Queen. Let's get into this week on the show. We'll be talking about what Bloodsport, Joey Janela's variety of shows, United We Stand, United We Kind of Fall, NXT, G1. Maybe we'll preview WrestleMania.
Maybe. I mean, it's in a couple hours, so.
There's no real point. No, yeah, really I figured isn't. Skip it. Because you're all going to probably listen to this tomorrow at work. Or something.
Yeah, and bitch at us because we're not talking about WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, you know. Whatever. So let's get into it as we do every week. This week with a special top five edition after this word from our sponsor.
The Nintendo World News with Mario.
We go direct to the ringside at the WWF WrestleMania Challenge. Ready, kid?
Just watch me whip the Macho Man.
And here he comes, 250 pounds of lean, mean muscle.
What a leg drop! Wow!
An elbow smash!
And a body slam!
Let's see that again. Is that the end of the Macho Man?
No way. I want a rematch.
This is Mario for WWF WrestleMania Challenge.
Nintendo!
Suplex City.
Top five. The return of the Suplex City Limits top five. Our top five matches of the week. Dude, they didn't even attempt to do a Macho Man impression there.
They didn't even try.
Everyone has a Macho Man impression.
I want a rematch. Yeah. You know, come on.
Everyone's got an impression of the Macho Man except that commercial.
Yeah, except for Nintendo.
Oh, what a pile of shit.
I mean, they don't even have a good impression of Mario.
Oh, that's true. Oh, that was like a different version of him, yeah. That wasn't the It's a Me.
Yeah. No, that was the plumber Mario.
Oh, okay. Well, this week we have expanded back to the top five as we've watched so much wrestling. Felt like the good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of it. There was a lot of good wrestling.
Definitely a lot of good wrestling. Let's start it off here. With I guess the oldest first, maybe Roar Raiders versus Ricochet and Black.
Yeah, no, that match was off the chain. Like, what a way to start the show! You know, what I mean? When I was watching that match, I was just like, "How is anybody going to follow this?"
Yeah, I thought it was going to be really good, and I was still like blown away by it. And so,
yeah. I mean, the entrance with the drummers were a little offbeat, but I mean, whatever.
Oh, and we saw that. We've seen that entrance before, so
I think okay. So, yeah,
this again. but really good shit, man. This giant senton to the outside from Hansen. I thought this whole match was agented great. I don't know who decided the beats of this match, but it was just well put together.
Well, they made it as if it was two singles matches. You know what I mean? Like it was mainly Raymond Rowe and Aleister Black, and then Hansen and Ricochet, the two high flyers, and the two. You know, other guys, I guess you'd say. So
how bizarre is it that Hansen's the high flyer?
I know. And they even pointed it out on commentary. It was a nice little tidbit. It's just like Hansen's the high flyer of this team. Like, how crazy is that? Because he's so big.
That sent on the outside was crazy. Also, Ricochet with a no one home, 6:30.
Yeah.
Just 6:30 into the fucking mat. Like,
shit.
It looked intense.
Yeah, it did.
It looked intense.
Yeah, it was you don't see him miss that very often, but at the same time, it's not like it's much different than when he doesn't. Because he usually takes the brunt of that anyways.
Yeah, but it looks, I don't know, yeah, with him missing, it looked fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah, he sells it off really well.
But yeah, the difference between those two to him is probably fucking minimal. I thought this was a great match. You know, at the end, standing ovation for Ricochet and Black, who I assume are done.
Yes, yes. And apparently the match was supposed to be a little bit longer, but Ricochet hurt himself a little bit.
Fuck, really?
So, yeah, so it was cut short a little bit, and that's why they got that extended send-off, because they had that little bit of time. It wasn't supposed to be that long, apparently. So yeah, that's something else. And then we see, you know, Piper Niven and Toni Storm, two just hot as hell ladies ringside. While
yes, dude, that was Piper Niven, Jim Vicious hottie of the week.
Oh, easily, easily.
Yeah, chick's hot, dude. I don't care. I like the chubby broods.
Well, I love Piper.
Riddle. Oh no, then we're going. I'm going back to the show here. We're going. Oh motherfucker.
What's going
on? I'm having various issues here again.
What kind Skype, of issues?
Same as last time.
Oh, good. Lovely.
Same as last time. So that's fun. I guessed it on a podcast the other day. Comedy Suplex did not have this problem.
That's cool. So what you're doing is you're blaming it on me.
I mean, I don't know. It's me who's having problems, not you. So.
Yeah, no, I got no errors coming up on my end. But hey, who knows?
It just like cuts me off and then it like reconnects. So I don't know if you can hear me or not. But
yeah, no, I get you. I kept on plowing through just in case.
Always do that. moving on from there, Gargano and Cole, I suppose, which I thought was one of the best matches of the weekend.
I would agree wholeheartedly. Even being we give two or three falls matches shit on this show a lot.
Yeah, boy.
But like this whole outcome of this match, I found totally predictable, and that's not a bad thing either. I figured there's no way Gargano does not win. And just the story they told with Adam Cole coming, with the first fall and then Undisputed Era getting involved to try to stop Johnny Gargano from getting a win. You really felt emotion and you wanted to get really behind Johnny Gargano to win this title for the first time. I thought it had done a great job at that.
Yeah, it was really good. I don't like two out of three falls, but, I thought this was really well done. And, One of the best matches of the weekend.
Oh, easily. I would say it's in my top three. If we were to do a top three, that would be in it. I think.
Yeah, definitely. Gargano goes over, which, he should. I don't know what's happening with Cole. I guess he's still staying there.
Yeah.
He vowed to get that belt, so I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, and he's probably the best opponent for Gargano right now.
Yeah. It was interesting, too, how at the beginning the crowd was all on Cole. They wanted Cole to win, and by the end, they got him all the way back around. They wanted Gargano.
I don't know if that has something to do with the Gargano being somewhat heelish over the last couple months and Cole just being an internet darling. And, everybody loves to say baby. So.
Yeah, just know what it is. That's all you need. Mm-hmm. Right? That guy's over as fuck just based on the baby thing.
Yep, and you could tell. You know what I mean? You just look at it, and that happens. It's like, oh, okay. They like him.
Yeah. Definitely. That was good shit. Also, three matches from this show. Dunn Walter.
Oh, I've turned around on Walter.
This was my first real Walter experience.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Yeah. It's I don't know how I feel about it. He looks like he should be in black and white.
He does. He does. Yeah, I agree.
Like a 30s wrestler.
I agree.
I didn't think he did a lot that impressed me, but I do like the overall package. He looks like a big angry fuck. Yep. So.
And the entrance to itself, where the screen just goes white and you see his silhouette, and where it's a big silhouette, it looks intimidating. And he comes down and he just looks like somebody from World War II that you wouldn't want to fuck with.
Yeah. He doesn't really run that, but he kind of has that foreign heel gimmick.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems that way. Yeah. Even though, the WWE NXT UK is completely foreign.
He's from Austria.
Yeah. That's true.
When he was yelling at him, he kind of sounded like fucking Schwarzenegger a little bit.
And did you know that the proper way to pronounce his name is not Walter?
What is it?
Walter.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
If you listen closely, you'll notice that, Nigel McGuinness is the only one that says Walter.
Yeah.
And I'm Progress. They call him Walter as well.
Yeah, that's my family is there, Germans from Russia. So around here, there's a ton of Germans from Russia.
Okay.
And little towns, some of them that have a W, they actually old timers would say with a V.
Hmm. Vinning.
We just popped that one guy in Austria. I don't know his name. That's just me on the Facebook. It's super nice guy. I forget his name. Shout out to you in Austria, sir.
Yeah. Stay classy, bud. Well out there.
Yeah. Stay classy, bud. What else have you got here?
Let's see here. Naito and Ibushi, who I can't remember who said it best on Twitter, but the story of this match is two guys dropping each other on their heads until they really can't do anything, and then they get better again, and the match is over.
Dude, I don't know. I just thought, you know, like Naito looked kind of fucking... He looks rough, dude.
He's taking a beating in these Ibushi matches, for sure.
Yeah, he just looked rough coming down and just moving early on. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, who knows with that long flight over, prior injuries could really seize up. Who knows?
I mean, that dude's done a lot of shit, so.
Yep.
but yeah, this was a great match.
Ibushi wins his first Intercontinental title, which is great for Ibushi. And it's also great for Naito as well. Naito can go and challenge Okada.
I guess, yeah. People are kind of saying, like, they think that's where he'll go. Naito will win the G1?
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, what else have they got going for him right now?
Yeah.
Who else would
I wanted to see Ibushi win the G1, but now that he's Intercontinental Champion, that's not going to happen.
I would imagine it's one of those things where there's probably a lot of uncertainty of Ibushi going to AEW. And maybe, given the Intercontinental title, who knows? I don't know when Ibushi's contract's up. Probably January, like everybody else's usually is.
I thought he's not contracted.
I feel like he's got some kind of commitment to New Japan.
Mm.
Or else he would be in AEW right now, don't you think?
I have no idea. I know that it's always been the deal is he doesn't sign any contracts. Yeah. I mean, so it is an interesting deal. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But either way, the match was fantastic.
Yeah. Enjoyed it. And the last match in our top five this week, Okada versus White.
Yep. After a long night of wrestling, this match kept that crowd going and kept them hot.
Yeah. Match of the weekend for you? Best match of the weekend?
That and I would say toss up to Gargano and Cole, maybe. I don't know.
I think those two are the two standouts.
Yeah. I'd say Okada of the White weekend. Was the...
Really Okada good
White.
Shit?
Oh, easily.
Happy to see Okada go over in the end.
Man, my mouth is not working right now. But yes, the whole world seemed to correct itself after Okada pinned White.
Right.
Except for that one guy on Twitter who says
yeah,
it's
boring.
Yeah,
what was it, that one guy? He's like, boring. Yeah, it's like, what, really?
Dude, come on. It's like, I understand if you don't want to see Okada as the champion. Who else would you have as champion right now? Really, though.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah.
And after all the shit.
Ibushi, but you can't.
Yeah. And all the shit they had to go through in this show, you had to send them home happy. There's no way. Like, the middle of the show is just chock full of mediocrity and garbage.
Yeah. And I guess there was argument, too, about like, who's going to close the show? Like, ROH has lost their fucking minds. I don't know if you want to transition out of Okada. I mean, they got anything else to say about this before we fucking
It was an Okada match. He got his comeuppance on Gato. He beat White to a blittering pulp. A good story to make Okada just seem like he's back to being Okada.
Yeah. And dude, White, man, he's got the heat, man, for real. Good shit.
He's doing a good job.
So
I like it.
I'll come around on White. I'm all in on him now.
Yep. Nope. He's got me. I can breathe with Switchblade for sure. And, you know, not to make a pun, but it breathes new life into Bullet Club as well.
Yeah. So there you go. That is this week's top five. Taking a rip.
Yeah, boy.
Wake and Bake special. So where do you want to go from here, man? Should we go back? I suppose we should kind of go, you know, in order. So let's back it all the way up.
Okay, let's talk about the other two matches from NXT.
Well, I was thinking the Thursday because I watched Thursday.
Oh, yes.
Bloodsport started in the afternoon.
Yes, I watched it at around 7 o'clock at night. But, yeah, it was great.
I watched it a little delayed, but no less. Overall, I thought this was really good. And, dude, this has legs to it, man. I would watch something like this.
I wouldn't watch it week to week.
That's what's my debate. I was like, would I watch this every week? And probably not, but I would watch it more than once a year.
Yeah, oh, for sure. If you had a couple big shows, I would be all down. If you had a Bloodsport on, like, a WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Royal Rumble weekend, maybe even Survivor Series, I'd watch the fuck out of it.
Yeah, I loved the show, man. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, there was something about it, man. Like,
you know, the rowdy ass crowd, including like Dean Ambrose, and
William Regal,
Beagle in the house.
Everybody shouting, "Murder him!" One guy wanted somebody to murder somebody every match, and it was fantastic.
Yeah. Why was the commentary in stereo? That was weird.
Was the commentary in stereo? I didn't notice. I just watched it on just regular TV. I didn't really get that it was in stereo, but that is weird. Yeah,
Like Kevin Gill in one ear and the other guy, whoever that was in the other ear.
Was it Kevin Gill?
Yeah, Kevin Gill was one of them.
Fair enough. I mean, it's probably a flub on their part because I wouldn't do it that way.
Yeah, I thought it was weird. You know, I thought there was some bad shit. Definitely, like, quite a few lines that the commentary said, or I was like, ooh. But overall, I thought it was pretty good for 2 hours of freestyling, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Frank Mir saying that he was going to make Brock Lesnar the first wrestling death, I mean, I figured that was a little perfect.
Real nice.
Yeah. He said he wanted Brock Lesnar to be the first MMA cage death. But he said he'll settle for Brock Lesnar being the first wrestling ring death. And it's like, buddy, yeah. Owen Hart.
And then he hobbled his fucking way out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
The fuck out of
here. That was I didn't like that at all. Hopefully Dan Severn got paid a fuck ton of money.
Frank Mir wearing a fucking t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me just go back on a little. I'm just looking here. You can tell it's early in the weekend because I have like in-depth notes.
Oh yeah,
like Supercard, I have like no real notes because no. I just gave up on notes. But just kind of bust through. I thought Phil Baroni for an MMA guy, he has a better like wrestling gimmick than
so
most
much
everybody.
Charisma. So much in charisma. WWE.
He's got the super stuffed trunks. He's doing this like, fucking heel dancing on like past dudes and shit. I thought it was awesome. It was kind of like if Das Wonder Kid was like self-aware.
He wore an Affliction leather jacket.
Yeah. Like if Das Wonder Kid was trying to be a heel instead of a face when he came out. But dude, he's getting so much shit. I don't know. I mean, that's all his, if that's all him in his trunks, fuck.
Good on you,
bless
buddy.
You, sir. Yeah, no shit, but
Baroni ain't no jabroni, that's for sure.
Yeah, this wasn't without its issues, you know. I mean, there was that Garnini guy got like knocked out, and he's like calling a spot from the fucking mat, and the camera showed it. I was like, but
yeah, I mean, it's something. These guys, as far as I know, aren't like full on professional wrestlers, right? They're MMA fighters.
It depends. Baroni is an MMA fighter. Garini, I don't know. He seemed to be trained in, you know, jujitsu and shit. I think he is a pro wrestler.
Okay. Yeah, because he was the one wearing the gi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
J.R. Kratos, I don't know. I think he's a wrestler. I wish I knew more.
Well, I mean, I'd assume somebody calling themselves Kratos, like God of War, it's probably a wrestling gimmick.
Somewhere fucking B-Rad Brad's like, come on. Fuck. Yeah. All these guys.
Yep. Make me feel stupid every day.
Simon Grimm, a.k.a. whatever the fuck he was when he was in WWE.
Simon Gotch.
I thought it was good.
A fucking abortion.
Killer Cross, Davey Boy Smith. You know, I mean, there was a lot of weird shit. I thought Takeda being on this show was crazy.
It was. That match, I mean, just looking at him is just disgusting. You know, dude, what I mean? Like the scars all over in every inch of his body.
His body's just ravaged by barbed wire, yeah.
And Mosquito must bite him and he bleeds for days.
Yeah. Dude, he takes this, you know, at the end, it just hits this great looking giant knee on Gresham for the win. And I was like, perfect. Plus, I also like the commentary, like being more like fanish, you know, like that happens. And the one guy's like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
You know, like that's awesome, dude. Yeah. I like cursing. So
I do too. And it's nice to get it on these GCW shows. It's more of an adult oriented show.
Yeah, I popped hard as shit because I didn't even really pay attention. He was going to be on the show. The Butcher of Buffalo, Andy Williams.
Andy was my new favorite wrestler.
Yeah, he plays guitar in Every Time I Die.
Yeah.
And that band is fucking awesome.
Just like when he came, I didn't know anything about it, right? I didn't know who he was, but he came out and they called him the Butcher of Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, this is a great gimmick. Like he looks like he'd rip you apart.
Especially when he comes out to "One for Territory."
I'm assuming it's one of his songs, hey?
No, Sepultura.
Oh.
That's from Brazil. Yeah. Fair enough. Came out, that was fucking awesome. Took on Chris Dickinson.
Whoever that is.
I don't know. But Williams gets choked out by him in what was pretty fun. That guy, I mean, he still tours with the E-Tid, and as the kids call him, E-Tid. And he's doing a lot of shit there, so he can't be a main, you know, full-time guy. I think he's older, too, but
he does look a little older. Yeah, he worked for Smash Wrestling as well, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, he looks like if you went to some kind of an underground fighting thing, that motherfucker, like a smoke-filled, dirty thing, everybody's gambling and shit, Jim, that guy would come out, you know?
It's the movie Bronson.
Yeah. But this whole show just had that fucking cool feel to it, man. I really liked it.
Well, yeah, you felt like you were going to see somebody get killed. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know about that, but
You're watching Bloodsport. You're watching somebody get fucking Rickrolled. You know, it's one of those things where it's simulated. They look like they're hitting hard, especially in the main event. The main event was fantastic. I don't know why I didn't put that as one of my top five.
Yeah, to me, they should have upped it a little. Like, they're like, oh, this interesting event, and they didn't really make anything on, you know, the stakes, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to. So
yeah,
to me, it should have been, you know, the loser of each fight gets nothing. The winner gets $5,000 or something.
Yeah,
you
like
know
a
what I'm
purse
saying?
Kind of deal. I get
it
that.
It's just these guys who showed up are the only motherfuckers who are willing to do something like this, you know, out of all the people in town. And that would explain why you get a Frank Mir, a Dan Severin, you know?
Yeah. No, I that would be a good take on it for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, Frank Mir taking on Dan Severin. This one was
something else.
Yeah. Well, Severin is 60.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You could have at least played to his strengths a bit more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, what strength do you have? He's 60, man.
Well, I mean, don't have him have to get up and down all the time. You know what I mean? If you get down on the ground, let him just stay on the ground.
Yeah. Well, there you go. What else? Yeah, from here, Timothy Thatcher, Hideki Suzuki.
Mm-hmm. This was, I mean, The match itself, I thought it was one of the low points. I mean, by the time the match was over, the crowd was back into it. But, I mean, at this point in time, all I really wanted to see was Josh Burnett and Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah. Yeah, which closed it out. I mean, that was pretty good. I didn't like the draw. They did the additional time and then draw it again. I was like, come on, man.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste. But at that point in time, too, it's like, when do you see a Josh Burnett and Minoru Suzuki match? It's the main event. It's WrestleMania weekend. Give him five more minutes. Just a nice thing to do. Obviously, it was just, I think it was something that Minoru Suzuki and Josh Burnett just did on the fly. She's like, let's just do five more minutes. Fuck it.
Yeah, Suzuki's work punches and shit are so much better than Barnett's.
Oh, I know.
Barnett's work strikes weren't that great, but still. It was still really fun.
It was also really nice to at least get to see.
And the crowd had a good time at this show. I really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they did. The crowd, I felt jealous for the crowd at the G1 because they got to experience the full theme of Suzuki, but here at least we got to see it, and the crowd said it as loud as they possibly could. The Kaze ni nane was fantastic.
Yeah, I think New Japan underestimated how over Suzuki is in this country.
Yeah, I think so.
You know,
he's huge.
Like, they didn't have a big match with Suzuki on the G1 show or anything.
No, they didn't. Just put him in the New Japan Rumble.
Yeah. He's like one of the most over New Japan guys here. That's my point. But
oh, yeah. No, him and Ishii, you know, Okada, obviously. But, I mean, there's a lot of underrated ones that they don't even seem to even think about.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was that show. I thought it was really good.
Yep. No, I will even say I'd love to see. I'd love to see more.
All right. Also, as requested by our boy Scotty from the Sad Pod, he was talking about a what the fuck top three.
Yes, a what the fuck top three.
Do you have his What the Fuck Top 3 offhand?
I don't have his What the Fuck Top 3 right offhand, but I do know that it had included Hornswoggle, Steiner, or Hornswoggle, Cage.
No, his is Gage. It's Nick Gage versus Swoggle. Austin Theory? Probably Theory. Who's that?
He's just, to me, he's just a generic white boy.
Taking on Kyle O'Reilly.
This is one of the old ladder matches.
A ladder match for the ROH title. For me, I saw a legless dude wrestling somebody.
That
was intense. So that's online.
That was intense. Yeah, was that Joey Janela Spring Break? That was Joey Janela Spring Break.
Yeah.
And that whole circumstance of him just goating onto the crowd and then goating on this guy in a wheelchair in the crowd and he comes out and kicks his ass was fantastic.
Yeah, fucking awesome. Launches himself over the top, does like a flip onto him.
Yeah. Oh man, like that guy, like he's better than Zach Gallen.
Yeah, that was cool. So that's on mine. Also, Invisible Man versus Invisible Stan.
Yep, with the great work from that ref and Jared bringing in some great fucking insight on that match.
He did has a book where he's like, fuck yeah.
Cheapest book match in the world.
To pay, right?
Yeah, the crowd did all the work. It was fantastic.
It was masterful because people were like, oh, what about Invisible Stan versus, like, they made people want that.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely did.
That's.
It's something to be said. Like, you can't knock it. You know what I mean? Because this is, a show where they allow you to see this weird fucked up shit because it's late at night, you're fucking tired, you're drunk, you're stoned, you're high on whatever is your vice, you're going to want to see this bullshit because it's a party crowd, it's a party atmosphere, that's what you want to see.
Yeah, everyone's probably eating edibles and shit. Good time. Yeah.
I did edibles for Takeover. For Takeover.
All right, and then my last one for this is Scott Steiner versus Swoggle, because to me Scott Steiner versus Swoggle is more ridiculous than Nick Gage versus Swoggle, although Scotty disagreed.
Hey, I didn't see either or, but Scott Steiner to me just seems like he would just rip off his little limbs and just pick them and use them as toothpicks. That's what I feel.
Yeah. Just a crazy weekend. Also, you could have that one where that dude takes a scissors in the throat. Did you see that?
That was fucked. I seen the GIF and I did not want to watch that match. I was like, I don't need to see this. I would say that for me, I don't know if you heard me because our internet connection was being shit. Adam Page taking on Starman from the video game. I thought that was pretty fucking dope.
And Starman is Virgil?
Yeah, and he took Adam Page's soul. It was fantastic. And that was not the only soul to be taken this weekend. In Kaiju Big Battle, Mr. Cube sucked Dust Bunny's soul out of his body with a Dirt Devil. And he spent the rest of the show in the entranceway. Everybody had to walk over him. It was fantastic. That was miles ahead and more entertaining than anything ROH tried to do.
Yeah, Mr. Cube is. He's such a great heel.
Yeah, he is.
So forget what it was. On Ringside of the Gym, we watched one where he killed a beloved character in a match. And it was just so fucking great. Yeah, Mr. Cube.
What a villain. Like, that's a great villain. Great villain completely. I'm a big fan. I love myself some Kaiju Big Battle.
Yeah. So there you go. There's our What the Fuck Top 3s. If you got a What the Fuck Top 3. Send us up on Twitter at Suplex City Limit. Let us know.
I'd be more enthused to hear everybody's What the Fuck Top 3 over their top 3 matches of the weekend. You know what I mean? Because like to me, that's just more of the. You find more garbage and shit that way that you can laugh at, in my opinion.
There you go. So that's that. From there, let's move on. I don't even want to talk about any of these other shows. Takeover, I guess, or the Spring Break show you watched. I didn't watch it.
The Spring Break show, there wasn't, we talked about the best shit from the Spring Break show, in my opinion. We talked about the Adam Page's soul and the other shit. So I feel Spring Break can be left alone. There's a couple other things, like Marco Stunt taking on Joey Janela, both making their returns to wrestling after injuries. Marco Stunt is just the smallest man in the world. It's crazy.
NXT, we kind of talked about everything on there. We talked about the other matches, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there was Dream and Riddle, which was better than it had any business in being.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yep.
Interesting how like not Riddle, you know, not a fan of Riddle, the crowd was. Fuck Riddle.
Well, I felt too, because you got Velveteen Dream. Everybody loves Velveteen Dream. Right. And by the end of the match, you seen that Riddle was going with a little bit more of a heel turn. So, I mean, it works the way the crowd was treating him. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And then the women's match.
Yeah,
I don't really have anything about that.
I mean, it would have been much better if it was a tag team match, because the best parts of the matches were Kairi Sane and Io Shirai teaming up.
Yeah. Or them kind of going against each other a little bit, too. That was good.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with those two, but they obviously are hitching their horse to Shayna Baszler really hard.
Yeah. Do you know? Paul likes, muscular, man-faced women.
Yeah,
you
know, she's kind of like China, I guess.
You Steph, you know?
Yeah.
Man-faced, muscle-bound women.
Like fucking Vince.
So that was for NXT, yeah. I thought it was a really awesome show.
Yeah.
A little long for NXT, but,
it was,
you know,
a little long, but surprisingly short compared to the next show we'll probably talk about.
United We Stand. I forgot we were going to talk about that.
That show was perfect. Riddled with shit, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was Matt riddled with shit. Okay, so the ring audio sucked. There was production issues abound. The classic, you know, where somebody throws to something and then it doesn't come and it's super awkward.
Yeah, that happened a few times.
The music? Were they hearing different music in the place than we were? Because the music would come on loud as fuck and then just stop.
I don't know. Maybe not. Was there some overdubbing? I don't know.
I think maybe we heard different music than they did, because it didn't seem on time at some points even. Exactly. But, dude, it would just stop. Like, dude, what? No fader? Oh, my gosh. It was pretty... The production was pretty shit. I forget who handled it. I was bitching about it and some guy defended it on Twitter.
Of course.
Some other company's production. So,
well, I mean, you should know who you're hiring. You know,
yeah, it was pretty shit. So yeah, what else we have here? I thought the Ultimate X match was pretty good. Johnny Impact goes over there.
Are you in the same boat as me, where it's like that's a waste of Johnny Impact to win a future title shot, the X Division title?
I mean, they've already done him as champion. Like, I feel like he's already run his course there.
I can see what you're saying there, yeah.
Ty Valkyrie also retains because they just fucking run that place, I guess, now.
I guess. I mean, the Johnny family are royalty in wrestling now, I guess. You got Cody's family and Johnny's family.
Ty Valkyrie, man. I like her, and don't take this anything, you know, wrong, but man, she's really done some shit to her face. I don't know what she did, but I liked old Taya Valkyrie, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. I like her.
Like, she looked like you take her home from a bar or something, you know? Like, she looked
your life.
Like a fucking dirty, relatable. I don't know what she's trying to do.
I don't know. Maybe she's trying to be classic good looking like her husband.
There you go.
But it's not working out.
What else we had? LA's matches. I mean, LAX low key. And whoever was with Loki, who was that dude?
The I don't know, some guy from MLW, wasn't it? The MLW crew with Selena Della Renna or whatever? I don't know. I'm so white, I can't pronounce all those names.
Yeah, I didn't think much of that match.
No, I didn't think much of many matches on this show, honestly.
I thought that Tessa Blanchard and Joey Ryan was really good. I saw fun, some people online, of course, complaining on Twitter that, oh, this is, you know, this is beneath her. This damaged Tessa Blanchard. She deserves, and slap in the face. You know, the usual fucking buzzwords.
Yeah, of course, because everybody's got to hate anything that goes outside of the norm, right? God forbid, yeah. God forbid you say you want something different and they give you something different. It's like, oh, you're killing wrestling.
She beats a man in a fun match that everybody liked. I don't know what more you want.
Yeah, if the crowd enjoyed it, guess what, man? It doesn't really fucking care if you enjoyed it because the crowd enjoyed it.
If he'd have came out and beat her or something, by all means, complain.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But man, fuck, who cares? It's wrestling. Do you really think Joy Ryan using his dick is going to ruin wrestling? No.
I forget the name of the dude already from Dragon Gate. Could not make the show, so he was replaced by Flamita. A match I was stoked about. It went like, I don't even know, 6 minutes, 7 minutes?
Yeah, it wasn't long enough for me. I mean, Flamita is a great hand to have around, and I feel you could have done a lot more. But I also don't feel it was Rich Swann was his opponent, right?
Yeah, Rich Swann's the X Division champ.
Yeah, Rich Swann is not really the opponent for Flamita. As good as Rich Swann is, it's kind of a contrasting style, in my opinion.
I thought it could have been better. I figured they were maybe running behind, and they're like, well, fuck those guys, you know?
Yeah, fuck the cruiserweights.
Who are we going to fuck over? Fuck over the Mexican and the black guy. Oh, okay, cool. You know? How about that? Did you see the Sabu and RVD?
I did.
Pre-match promo?
Oh, no, I did not. I did not see that.
There was no second take on this thing, I assure you. It was so awful, man. It was like somebody's like, nailed it. It's so bad.
The best we're going to get out of
Sabu. Awkwardly talking in front of these lockers. Bad.
Yeah, I mean, how good of a show are you going to get out of Sabu anyways? Really, though. Really.
Yeah. Callahan and Havoc, I enjoyed that shit. They had a crazy monstrous ball match.
Yeah, and especially if you think about too that Havoc had a hardcore match just before that at I believe Joey Janela's Spring Break or something like that. WrestleCon.
Yeah, mere like an hour or something before this, 2 hours before this, he was going through a table. Tom Lawler put him through a table somewhere.
Yes. Oh, maybe it was an MLW show. Maybe it was like Battle Royale or something. Yeah, just way too many shows this weekend. Like, I had all kinds of plans to watch so much more. It's just not possible.
I watched two shows Thursday, one show Friday, one Saturday.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a lot in itself, dude.
It is. So
I had to go out. I went and saw my buddy's band play. I fucking went out. I've been doing shit. You got shit to do, man.
Jim, can I tell you my rigmarole of Friday? Because it's all wrestling related. So I get off of work, I rush because we're going to a CWE show here in town. Because Psychosis was coming. So we show up at 6:30. Show's supposed to start at 7. And first is like, do you guys have an ATM? Because I don't ever have cash on me. So the answer I got was, I don't know. So then I was like, well, can I go in and see if I can find an ATM? He's like, no. I was like, okay. And he's like, plus the ring's not really here yet. I just looked around.
I was like,
oh shit, the ring really isn't there. The people are all sat around to a place with no ring. I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, well, I'll go back. I'm going to go run to the ATM and get some money and I'll be back. And so me and Travis went back and we got some money and the ring still wasn't there. So I had taken an edible right after work and it hadn't kicked in yet. And then I said to Travis, I was like, we got to make a decision because we're either leaving now or we're staying, because once this edible kicks in, we're fucked.
You're done, dude.
And Travis, I was like, TakeOver's on. We can watch TakeOver. Whatever, the ring's not here. God only knows when the ring will show up. And I just looked at him and was like, let's do it. And so we did. We went back, and halfway through the drive, my fingers started tingling.
Yeah.
So that was that.
I once tried to make about a 45-minute drive on mushrooms. I took them right as I put my car into drive. I ate them all.
Yeah.
And by the time we got there, I was like turning off into random fields and shit. And like, because like, any approach, I was like, oh, this is the turn, you know? And I'd go off and it'd be like a field. I'd have to like turn around and come back up.
No exit.
Yeah. I barely made it there. And the other, someone else had to drive us home. So, dude, I would have said fuck you the first time I got there. I'd have got there and be like, you know, I can't come in and use the ATM. Your ring's not here. Have a good evening, sir. Yeah. And I fucking left and not come back. That's shitty.
It was apparently the truck broke down. But
oh, okay.
Now, I that would be fine, but there was no mention anywhere on their Facebook of any of this. They still haven't mentioned it. So you really did nothing to tell anybody what was going on. So whatever. I don't feel bad.
I've played hundreds, if not 1,000 fucking rock shows in my life. And we're late starting a show because the PA didn't show up or the drums or the something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I get you.
It's fucking amateur hour, dude. That ring should have been there hours beforehand. This doesn't fucking work, man.
Especially too, when you take, like, you're running a show on WrestleMania weekend during TakeOver. Like do you really think you're going to get, you know, I don't know. Just to me, it's like, first you got yourself a bad day and then you're late and you don't tell anybody about it.
Yeah, like, you gotta give yourself plenty of time. Where is this ring? How long is it gonna take? You know, I mean, like, leave yourself a bit of fucking time. It's not like they were locked out of that building all day. Well, maybe that's Friday, right? They worked, I suppose. But
and at the same time, too, it's at least give the guys at the venue a heads up as to when you're going to be there, because the literal words out of their mouth was, "We have no idea when the ring's getting here." And I was like, oh, okay.
So like, great sell, chief.
Yeah, it's just like piss poor communication all around. It's like, man, fuck.
That's pretty silly.
Yeah.
Well, the fuck are we in this? Are we moving to Saturday? Yesterday?
Since Saturday.
Saturday.
ROH will put on a show and you won't give a fuck about anything they do. But New Japan was cool.
Car crushing monster truck action. I used to work in radio, but I never got to do the monster truck commercials, and I wanted to so bad. I wanted to do the monster truck commercials, man.
You missed your calling. Happen. You missed your calling, man.
Like, yeah, never got a chance. G1 Takeover, basically. I mean, we don't know if we have to go through this whole thing. If you want, we can. But I thought just Ring of Honor is lost. And I think that it's going to be a bad year for Ring of Honor, dude.
I think so.
It's going to be a very bad year. I don't know.
The decisions
everybody
they
was
to make.
Just, none of their shit was over on this show. Everybody just wanted to watch New Japan.
Well, the thing is, too, nothing that they presented was worth being over, you know?
No.
Like Kenny King winning the Honor Rumble. I don't give a fuck. Especially when you had the final two being Muta and Liger. That was all you needed. That was the perfect ending right there. And you had to go fuck up Kenny King. That's
to me, garbage. I had a bad booking, bad idea bingo card for Ring of Honor here. And by the end, I was yelling, bingo!
Yeah, you're goddamn right, buddy. Because they never failed to give us a shit fucking call. So
they,
like,
did the worst of everything. Kenny King winning the fucking Battle Royal. Dumb. Worst idea possible. Taven as champion. Worst idea possible.
Yeah. Kelly Klein beating Iwatani. Worst. You could not. And then on top of that, Angelina Love and Velvet Sky. What the fuck? Teaming up with Nikki Bella 2.0.
Yeah.
Jesus,
they're
going to
be a new group. That's awful. Kelly Klein is still fucking awful.
Yeah. And then that New York Street fight. That Bill Bully Ray Open Challenge. That was atrocious. That was hot garbage. Like, Juice Robinson was just beat up to the point where he wasn't even going to be, he had to go to the hospital. He's fucked. Comes out perfectly fine.
We're not even to the crescendo of stupidity. Enzo and Cass jumped the rail and do a worked fucking shoot.
Jesus Christ. Like, seriously? Like, that's your idea? That's going to turn you around?
Yeah. It was really interesting. I saw somewhere somebody said something to the extent that Enzo and Cass jumping the rail for a worked invasion angle directly before Takahashi's debut in MSG is like the prime example of the Ring of Honor and New Japan fucking relationship.
Yeah, it really is. Like, to me, that show should have been the icing on the cake for AEW. You know what I mean? To have a working relationship with New Japan, because New Japan should see this as, holy fuck, we're back with TNA.
Oh, dude, absolutely. Cause I think
exactly
this is
what this looks
I would
like.
Be done. I would be done with them. I'd be like, have a nice life.
Yeah. It was a pleasure working with you, but so long. You know, because, like, you look over at AEW, they're an unproven company, but at least they're an unproven company that you can hit your wagon to is not going to do stupid shit like this.
Yeah, they're going to fucking be logical, if you hope or you expect, and you're going to be able to do crossover shit with them that's going to be something.
Yeah, but at this point in time, there's no crossover. You know what I mean? It's just like two complete separate entities, and it's night and day difference over the contrast of both. It's madness. It's
down to having New Japan turnbuckles on two of the corners and Ring of Honor ones on the other two.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not talking logos. I'm talking the three separate ones or the Japan full one. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is. The whole
commentary
thing weird.
Was brutal, too, because all they had was fucking Kelly. Well, no, they had that other cat, too. What's his name?
Chris Charlton was there for a second, and Ian Riccaboni. Yeah. I would have liked it if it was just Ian Riccaboni and Kevin Kelly.
You know, they both kind of do the same thing. I don't know. For me, Riccaboni on the New Japan matches, I was just like, get the fuck out of here, bro. Yeah. I like you, and I like him on Ring of Honor, but I just didn't like him on the New Japan shit.
Yeah, and I will say Colt Cabana was good. I enjoyed Colt Cabana because he was just, you know, like, you just turn in little tidbits here and there. But Caprice Coleman was garbage. Hot garbage.
Dude, they're all in his way, man. They're all in Kelly's way. He's trying to do the shit, and everybody's in his way. Fucking really, Caprice Coleman? The fuck out of here, dude. You know? Why are you here? Why are you here when I'm watching Okada versus fucking Jay White?
Yeah. No, I agree. He had no business being there.
Garbage.
I mean, this was
I would have rather had the Kevin Kelly alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck it.
If you couldn't get Callis or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah,
I don't know. You could have used him. You could have used Rocky Romero.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of names you could have used. Chris Charlton was right there. Sure, he's got a wimpy accent. But
what accent is that?
I don't know. It's really high pitched, and I believe he's from the UK. But like,
dude, I thought he was Asian. Like, when I hear him, I was like, this guy can barely speak English, so. am I wrong? He sounds really, not barely speak English, but he sounds really weird. And then, like, I saw, like, is he the frail-looking, like, white dude?
He is the frail-looking white dude. That's Chris Charlton. Huh. He wrote the book, like, the New Japan book, Lion's Pride. Like, there's a couple of New Japan books that have done really well that he's written. And I believe he's from the UK, but lives in Japan. So I don't know if maybe it's like a mixture of the being able to speak Japanese and just is normal accent. Who knows?
Well, there you go. So that was another beef of mine. Although I will say Ring of Honor handled the production of this whole show. And I thought that was well done.
Yep.
All the shit was right. The music was where it needed to be. It sounded great.
Except for the overdubs.
There was no. Well, I don't know. It's like, dude, New Japan owns that shit. I don't know. What is the...
Why can't it be... You know what I mean? Why? Why could we not hear Taguchi's great fucking theme? Why could
they
we not hear Liger's song?
The rights to that music in the U.S.? I don't know what the deal is there.
It has to be it, because like, the thing would pop up, music altered due to copyrights or something like that.
Yeah. Seems like the popular take, though, coming out of this show is this New Japan needs to move on.
Yeah.
I don't know what else we don't have to try to figure out. Oh, another question I had here when I was watching Ibushi do a promo. If him and Omega, you know, are making love and all this, can he not fucking teach him English? You learn Japanese. Can he learn English? Would that be?
Maybe he's a stubborn man. That's what Kenny Omega likes, because, you know, he's stubborn. He won't sign a contract with anybody. Maybe he's like, no, I'm not speaking anything else other than Japanese either.
I just thought it was weird. It's like, you know, you think he would by this point.
You'd think but I guess not.
Yeah. Cobb Ospreay.
Yeah,
this was a good match. It wasn't like the crazy blowaway that I thought it would be, but it was pretty good.
No, I thought they went a great turn to have Cobb win the Never Open title, because Cobb can bring it back to, you know, those classic bouts with Ishii and all that bullshit. That was where it was at. You know, the Never Open weight title was originally supposed to be for young guys.
Right.
But like it turned into the strong style, the stiff style, And Ospreay had it, and you know, he had some matches with Taichi and Ibushi. They really ended up just looking like heavyweight matches with a junior twist. You know what I mean? So like, go back to the strong style. I'm down for it. Jeff Cobb can just throw Japanese men around night and day. I'm down.
It's the best part. He doesn't just hit a move. He like throws people and then catches them and does the move. It's tremendous.
It is. Yeah, the guy's a goddamn beast.
Although, I think I need more from Cobb.
Yeah.
Because he's like Cobb. He's just like a dude. He's you know, really great amateur wrestler. He's, you know, he comes out, he does the shaka bra.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's pretty much it, right? Does he talk on Ring of Honor?
I don't think so. There needs to be something. He needs somebody with him, or something needs to be a little bit more developed instead of just being guy from Guam.
No matter how much you like a dude, and his, like, as a guy and as his ring and everything like that, there's only so long that you'll accept him just being like a dude who just comes down and smiles and that's it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Just happy. He's him and Apollo Crews, same thing.
Apollo Crews, yeah. Yeah. Rich Swann was one.
Yeah. Was a whole lot of just them. Happy to be here, bro.
Yeah. Fucking happy to be here. So there's that. Roosh defeats Castle in like 15 seconds.
Yeah, that was a little much. You know what I mean? But like, Castle looks like he's a little worse for wear still. He's still wearing that back brace. And then you also got, you know, at least it made Roosh look like a fucking brilliant fucking, he just looked like a star. Yeah, it
makes him look badass. I'm into this. I'm interested to see where they go with this whole Castle thing. You want to talk about dastardly heel turn deeds? I don't need to see people like hit by cars and shit like that. Like, he turned on the boys, dude. I was offended.
Yep. That I felt bad for the boys. I did. They stood by him through thick and thin.
I thought that was a great heel turn. I'm looking forward to the story to see like where a heel boyless Dalton Castle goes.
Yep. Me too. I like this. I'm happy.
It's one of the good things they have going.
This was the one upside. This match.
Yeah. And we move to Kelly Klein and Iwatani, which we talked about. I want to like Kelly Klein because she's really hot and she's got some, like, she's fucking just really hot. Okay. And
she looks intimidating.
Yeah.
You know, she looks like she could kick your ass, but unfortunately, when the match starts, it doesn't really look the same.
She's just bad. And, you know, it's one thing to have a bad women's division, but it's another to have a bad women's division in a company that's really based around work rate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
like how do those two things coexist? They don't.
They're starting to blur the lines a bit more now with, you know, Enzo and Cass. So,
I mean, now it's getting even like Women of Honor is not great working women. It's just, it's diva wrestling, really.
Yeah. Yeah, who would have thought that in 2019 WWE would have a better women's division than ROH?
Almost more progressive, because ROH just at this point seems to be a lot of fucking really hot chicks who can't wrestle.
Well, it's all the chicks that the guys are fucking in the back.
And Angelina Jolove, who's not hot or can't wrestle. No. Now, which one is it? I don't know those two apart. Which one is the blonde one that just looks like fucking...
The one that looks like a leathered skin hag is Angelina Love.
Yeah, the blonde one.
And then Bully Ray is fucking one with her ass cheeks out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
He dates her, huh?
Yes. And then Mandy Leon and Delirious, Kelly Klein and BJ Whitmer, right?
Yeah. Oh, I wonder how that works out.
Yeah, I wonder how the pushes are working in this company, guys.
Shit. Angelina Love looks like the kind of chick, it's like late, it's almost bar closed, and you're like, fuck, I guess.
Well, then
you
go home with her, and then like,
you, after you nut, you go to clean your dick off, and like, you fucking run into some little kid in the hall. Not even little kid, probably fucking 13 based on her looks, probably like 14, yeah.
Yeah, young enough to score a fucking butt off of before you leave.
But, fuck, dude.
She's married to Davey Richards.
Mm.
So that explains a lot, you know. He's a fucking work.
But yeah, Iwatani, who I do like and I do think is great. It's funny how like WWE is like, yeah, we'll take these two hot ones.
Yeah, we'll throw leave that one back. The homely looking one though.
Leave the one who looks like a waitress at a sushi restaurant. And then she came down. I seriously, when she came down, I thought that there was a kid with her. I'm like, why is there some kid with her?
No, it's another waitress.
Well, the kid was the original waitress. Yeah, she's like the head waitress. What was her name, dude? She was the old Women of Honor champion.
Sumi Sakai.
Sumi Sakai. Yeah, fuck, dude. Yeah, I thought it was a little kid. Takes it off. I'm like, oh, okay.
I just assumed it was another girl from Stardom, but nope, not it. Even though Stardom was there that night, they were in New York. But
yeah. To clarify, I do still think Iwatani's hot. She's just not as hot as the other ones. Yeah,
she's just got like one of those off teeth, you know?
I kind of like that shit, dude. I kind of like imperfections. I noticed this. I was out at a metal show on Friday watching my boys play some fucking metal. And there was this chick there who like was really hot, but had this like just had a shitty nose.
Yeah.
But it almost made her hotter to me. And I was like, God damn, who's that chick? It's weird. More than if she was just a hot chick.
Yeah. No, I get you. I get you. It makes her a little bit more attainable.
I don't know if it's that. I just think it's different. You know, it's like you see hot, typically hot broads all the time. And just like, like you see something a little different. Like, even if it's kind of fucked up, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like that, actually.
Wonder what my dick would like look like on her nose.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Angelina Love, Velvet Sky, Allure.
Which yes.
Is, originally was supposed to be with Dashwood, I guess, or what?
Maybe, yeah, I guess. I mean, because she just recently hightailed it out of there. Maybe Madison Rain might have been a part of it as well. Who knows?
Oof.
Yep.
That's going to be bad. Whatever this whole thing's going to be is going to be bad.
I get both Jim and Tyler Stanton approval on that one.
That's going to be the main focus of their show with their women's division.
I'd assume so. I'd assume so.
Oh, this next segment, dude.
Oh. So I guess the Flip Gordon injury was a work.
Oh, you're skipping right over.
Oh, like
I'm trying to figure out how I want to talk about
how you
the Mega Rad performance.
Oh, well, okay. I'm going to say it in simple words that to me is not rude. The ROH are the bigger culprit here because they should know what your fans want. Your fans don't want a concert in the middle of a show. WWE has proved that in many ways. There's nothing Mega Ram could have done to save this. He was going to get booed because that's not what they want to see.
That was my next question is, do you think that crossed the mind of these people? Do you think anyone was like, hey, you're going to maybe go out there and get booed and Bully Ray's going to be the face coming out to fucking Sandman, your fucking ECW zombie?
Yeah, no, I don't think it did because they wouldn't have done it if they actually would have just sat down and thought about it for a second.
Yeah, I love Mega Ran. Like I said, I played guitar on some of his fucking songs. He is the man. He was on our show. I love him, but that's just a tough spot.
Yeah.
And he came out and they booed him and I was just like, oh no, dude. Yeah.
I felt bad.
Can you imagine that? 20,000 people? Like, and he's the nicest fucking dude in the world, honestly.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. He's one of those guys I'd be like, Mega Ran is like fucking five times the man that I am, like that good dude or good person that I am.
Yeah. He's none of his own, you know, this was not his fault.
T-Call was somewhere like, fuck, I'm glad I'm not.
So, I mean, good on Mega Ran for getting to go at Madison Square Garden. But
my feed, actually, at that point, my feed killed itself out of embarrassment, honestly. I had a rough feed, man. It's like, if I was live, it was shit. If I let it go, like, a minute, so I'd be, like, a minute behind, it would run fine.
Oh, really? We had no troubles here, but sometimes.
New Japan World?
Yep. Yeah. What did you use?
I'm using New Japan World on Internet Explorer on Xbox One.
Oh, I was using it just on a Mac Mini connected to a TV.
Yeah. So I don't know. The Internet Exploder on fuck. Well, Internet Exploder sucks, period. But
it does. It does.
On an Xbox, it's who fucking knows. Usually it works pretty good, though.
Yeah. The other option I use for New Japan is with a Chromecast, and it works really good.
I mean, we talked about that six, man. I don't know.
I don't feel like I need to say anything else about it. It was a schmoz. It was too much. It didn't even need to be on this show.
Ring of Honor, man, very TNA.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, Impact's not going to be TNA anymore?
Well, let's fucking do it, boys. Somebody's got to fill the shoes.
Right. Speaking of, okay, we talked about United We Stand, but we didn't talk about the fucking main event. I don't remember shitting on how bad RVD and Sabu
were. No, we talked about the promo, and that was about it.
Did we skip other matches? Oh, we started having tech problems.
We did start having tech problems, but I mean, at the same time, Sabu looked absolutely atrocious. RVD looked like RVD. You know, he looked stoned.
They signed him.
Yeah, they signed. Yeah, yeah. I wonder why they didn't sign Sabu.
Well, fuck. Dude. Oh my, that was pretty shit. Yeah. I guess we just kind of. We started having problems, so that'll be fun. And then later in the edit, people are listening to this, it'll just go from one to the other.
Yep. But I mean, whatever. fuck it. Technical difficulties. What can we do?
Where the fuck are we on this one?
We are Dragon Lee, Bandito, and Ishimori in a match.
I thought this was awesome.
It was so good. It was so good. It was a shame that you had so much more great wrestling this weekend, because this match I feel is probably not getting the love it deserves.
It would have made my top five if I had more time. It only had 9 minutes, dude.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And in a show that ran so long, I can understand why you take 9 minutes from this match, but you could have taken it away from a lot of other things.
Yeah, I mean, dude, there was so much wasted time on there. You know, that whole six man thing was just forever, because it's Mega Ran does a song and then Bully Ray and him have an interaction and then everyone comes out. And it's like, holy fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
This match needed more time because it was really awesome.
I agree. I agree. Like the match before it was almost like an M. Night Shyamalan movie where like there had to be all these twists and fuck it.
I thought you meant that I woke up at the end and realized I was dead the whole fucking time.
That too.
Yeah. I'll use that joke again, motherfuckers, thinking about that I did that before. I'll do it again.
Okay. My fucking jokes. My fucking jokes.
This is my show. This is our show. Fuck off. So there's that. I thought Dragon Lee was awesome. How about that crazy moonsaulting?
Oh, that whatever that cocksucking
fall away slam. Yes. I don't know what that was.
What did Kevin Kelly? Kevin Kelly came up with some kind. No, Colt Cabana. This is not a move.
Launch both of those motherfuckers. Yeah. That looked crazy, man.
It was almost like a avalanche double fall away slam. Is almost what it was like.
But he did a moonsault in there, I think.
He did do a moonsault. So, like, what? I don't know. It's like an inverted Spanish fly.
I don't know. I'm the only one with moonsault fall away slam, I think.
Yeah. Or Colt Cabana's not a real move.
Yeah, not a real move. So that was great. Also, Dragon Lee, I think that's awesome for him to be the junior champion. He's awesome. So, is he going to take the belt to CMLL for a while? I have no idea.
I'd assume he'd defend it there a couple times. With the rumor of Takahashi coming back in the summer, this does lead up to a great return match. But it would have been nice if, like, Takahashi could have come in and, you know, just at least had something, you know?
Yeah, I've heard. Did they mention it on commentary? I heard people say commentary did, but I didn't. They did mention Takahashi.
I think they did, because they mentioned how Dragon Lee's last shot at the IWGP Junior title was against Takahashi, in the match that broke his neck. But I don't know if they went into detail, but I believe Dave Meltzer reported that he's returning this summer, apparently, or somebody reported. So
this would be awesome. I mean, it's at least they're going that way.
Yeah.
You put it on Dragon Lee, he defends it a few times, and then after a match, Takahashi returns, and it's going to be fucking crazy.
Yep.
The crowd's going to go nuts.
They will. So. And I can see them wanting to save that for a Japanese show.
Oh, yeah. I think being North American, we're like, yeah, dude, at MSG. And really, they're like, yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and Naito said it best, too, like when they're talking about like New Japan on MSG in one of those clips that they showed. It was Naito saying, like, a lot of people older than me have good feelings about MSG. And it's like, huh? It's like, you don't give a shit.
It's like, yeah, it's a building.
Yeah. It's a building that a lot of things happened years ago in. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
In
Japan, they wrestle in buildings thousands of years old, I'd assume.
Yeah. You assume. Did you say you assume?
Yeah.
the Tokyo Dome was actually built by ancient Japanese 1,000 years ago. I
mean. That's not what I mean. I mean, like... not thousands of years ago either. Like fucking Korakuen. I'm sure Korakuen's an old fucking building. That's an old sumo hall.
Oh yeah,
right. So I'm sure that has more legacy in it than Madison Square Garden.
Dropping bombs. Fuck you and your fucking arena. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it's like at least it was a building that's they never named dumb shit like Smoothie King Center. Or,
yes, that's true. At least it stayed Madison Square Garden.
Fucking Yum Brand Arena.
What is it? RV Camping World Arena or something like Camping World Arena. It's fucking retarded. Yeah,
dumb as fuck. The Bassmaster fucking arena. Live from Birmingham, Alabama. The four-way tag match, which I didn't really care much about anyway. Botched the fuck out of this PCO entrance.
They did. PCO should not have been... That chair should not have been shown until PCO was in it.
Yeah. Well, they show it right away, and it's like, oh, they're setting it up. I'm like, oh, you're dumb fucks. Okay, good one. Yeah. And then, you know, they show him going in it, and they had commentary, had to try to cover it, and it was just really bad.
It was. But overall, if that entrance would have been done properly, it would have been fantastic. Because I fucking love it. Especially theme music. It's alive. It's alive. Yeah. And it goes into like a horror movie.
When is someone going to stand in the way and tell that guy no?
Right?
Dude, right? That fucking powerbomb out of the ring just onto the floor.
Oh, just eat shit and then gets right back up. You know what I mean? Like, that whole thing was fantastic. He's a fucking tank.
Yeah. I was like, tank. What the fuck is this? Why is this guy back? He's not good. But I agree. I kind of do like the fucking undead monster thing.
Yeah. Like, that whole gimmick is dope.
It's great until he doesn't get back up, you know, which is probably going to happen.
I mean, I'm sure Frankenstein movies ended that way.
That's not the only crazy spot he did either. He did that fucking like senton to somebody on the apron to the outside thing.
Jay Briscoe. I think he might have like taken 5 years off of Jay Briscoe's life.
Dude, like,
damn,
that's fucking crazy. The shit that guy is doing. Why is he doing the craziest shit in pro wrestling right now?
Yeah, I know. He's just like Sabu beat this. You know.
Yeah, fucking crazy, man.
And he's one of the two people on the show that's had a match in MSG before.
Oh, right. Like nearly, was it like 30 years of previous, yeah, like almost to the day or 25 years, whatever it was.
Something like that. Yeah. And, him and Bully Ray, the only two to have worked Madison Square Garden.
Gorillas of Destiny get the win here, which I think we kind of expected.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we called this last week on the show that they would be the good fit in ROH.
Yeah. Enzo and Cass jump the barricade and attack. I mean, we kind of desperation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like at first, I will say that I was like, oh my God, again, like there's another one. Right. Like, first of all, because like I love conspiracy theories, right? So my mind first went, I was like, oh my God. It's like Enzo's like the Joker and dropping fucking terrorist attacks all over wrestling in New York. Because like I could see that guy trying to do something stupid like that. You know what I mean? And then at the same time, it's like I'm watching this video because you can't see what's going on the crowd. So I was confused. I was like, what the fuck? Like, they're kind of showing it, but they're not. They're kind of talking about it, but they're not. And then you go on Twitter and you see that Enzo and Cass are just there. No security ever comes, and the work punches, and some of the punches
obviously a work, but dude, so many people. That was their argument. It was like, well, they didn't show it. Yeah. Like, you're doing the job for them. Are you fucking this stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
For me, the icing on the cake was just seeing Mark Briscoe lay in some heavy fucking blows square to Enzo's jaw. Like, that was fucking fantastic. And I felt so good inside. So fucking good. And to see Bully Ray just pick him up and just toss him into the barricade.
It's dumb, though, dude. You're going to bring these guys in, you're going to run them as a heel. It's not going to work.
See, this is the thing. I would say that if it was any other tag team that had any clout, this could be something. But where it's Enzo and Cass, it's wasted. Like, this to me is a very clever angle to run, because like we said, like, Twitter's doing the work for them, and it's causing some kind of, like, somebody, a lot of people, I assume, are going to tune into ROH when they do their next tape, just to see if they mention it, like, and what's going on with it, because you know it's a work, or most people should know it's a work. But
are they going to be there? Are they going to wrestle there full time?
I'd assume so, and down the line. But like, if done correctly, you'd slow roll this. You know, dude, what I mean?
If you only think that's going to happen, I'm going to fucking predict it for you. Cass is going to wrestle in a shirt and then probably have a seizure at the end.
Enzo is probably going to make some poor life choices and everybody's going to hate him. The end.
No, I'm just being a dick. But really, though, that guy's like, everyone was like, he's fucking out of shape, which everything I've seen from him lately, like, he's super out of shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's super out of shape. He's had, what, two matches that I'm aware of? One of which he had a fucking seizure after or before. And Enzo has done nothing wrestling. It's going to be awful. And they were awful before.
Yeah, they were. They were like, Daniel Bryan couldn't get a good match with Big Cass. So,
dude, you would not believe how many people. And I don't think it was just like straight Mark shit, you know. Or people like, fuck this. But there was a lot of people like, fuck this. Fuck Ring of Honor. After all the things they did. Not only this, but.
Yeah, this was the icing on the cake. This is really. This really turned people's cheek to this. I really do believe. I don't.
I was following the Ring of Honor's Facebook throughout the night, and they make posts about what happens and shit, and people are just like, oh my God. They didn't post about that.
No,
but like, Taven goes over to like, Taven has become the champion, and it was like 9 out of 10 comments are like fucking negative on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's a heel, because like, fuck this shit. I mean, Taven. I have less of a problem with it than they do, but.
Like, Taven,
I think it's still a bad idea.
He's a good worker, but there's nothing else. You know what I mean? There's literally nothing else. He's just a plain guy. He's not a world champion.
No. And they spent a lot of time trying to get the crowd to think he is, and like, you know, to build that story, but it just didn't work.
No, it didn't. So, shame.
Yeah. Other than that, Sabre tapped Tanahashi, which was like weird.
They're putting a rocket like behind him. They're straight shooting him to the top. You know what I mean? They really like Zack Sabre Jr. So
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea either, but whatever.
I don't get it. Well, we'll see. I mean, it's whatever. If he gets like how far up they push him.
Yeah. You know? And we said the same thing about Jay White, so fuck. What can you say?
Said that I have way more of a chance of coming around on Jay White.
Favor. Yeah, no, and I can understand why. But New Japan does have a way of turning it around and making you invested in it down the road. So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I respect his style and the shit he does, but I just, like, to me, it just bores me.
I get you.
Well, that was it. I mean, yeah, Taven, I guess, becoming the champion, which I thought was a bad idea. I thought that match was way too long. I got bored in it.
I did too. There wasn't enough good different spots. You know what I mean? Like, sure, they made the rings or the ladders into an X. Yeah. That's about it. And the icing on the cake is a big purple ladder.
Yeah, it was like, what, 30 minutes long, this match?
It was pretty long. I don't know exactly how long it was, but it was long.
I kind of forgot. I forgot about it totally. When I, after Ibushi Naito, I was like, all right, Okada White.
Oh. No.
Yeah. And can you believe that the rumor is that Ring of Honor was trying to be like, was honestly being like, so what's going to be the last match on the show? Really?
That blows my mind. Blows my fucking
you
mind.
Aren't fucking, you're not smart enough to realize that your belt has nothing on that one, especially this much, like this good of a matchup for it.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you are delusional at best.
And I thought I noticed some little things Ring of Honor was doing. Because they were like, one of them, what the fuck? What's that dude from the NWA champion, Nick Aldis?
Nick Aldis.
I believe it was him who was like, this is the main event. You know, like they were really like, you know, this main event. And then like afterward, it was like, oh, co-main event. But it was like they were really trying to push that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they can do whatever they want. The
I don't know which one it was, but he was saying like, you know, like, oh, this is the real, you know, main event. Like,
I'm pretty sure he was the commentator for the ladder match.
Yeah,
pretty sure he was. But at the same time, they can do whatever the fuck they want. You know, they're just going to dig a deeper hole.
Yeah, Taven's the champion, and the crowd didn't really react to that. I mean, granted, he's a heel, but still.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, you really could have gotten Marty to really at least be a shining
even
light.
If, I'm saying, even if he's leaving in like 3 months or leaving in 2 months, put it on him.
Yeah,
fuck it. You know, I mean, like if you're paying him, get something out of it. You could have figured out, put it on him and figure out where to go from there.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think Taven's the answer, dude.
No, God no, man. God no. Yeah.
It's really interesting. It's like they lost people and they were in this situation. It was like the story kind of coming out of, you know, last year was, will Ring of Honor right the ship? You know, like, what are they going to do when they lost all these guys? And I feel like they've made all just really bad fucking ideas.
Well, like they've picked up Roosh. They've picked up Bandito. They started the year good. You know what I mean? It's like, okay.
All they're doing is beating Bandito. Roosh beat Bandito in the first pay-per-view after they were both there.
Yes, the 17th anniversary.
Because the first thing they did was put those two guys together. We're like, keep them apart for a long time.
Yeah, no, that was pretty piss poor. But I mean, the signing was good.
Yeah.
That's all been downhill from there.
It's going to be bad, I think. It's going to be bad. Because you're going to find yourself being the... I think the day AEW starts, Ring of Honor has to be down a notch there. I mean, they got to fall down to, what, 3? Are they number 2 in America right now? I suppose they... Although, I guess you have NXT, right? NXT would be 2.
I guess. In my...
Maybe.
In my hierarchy, I would have... Well, I would group NXT and WWE together.
WWE. I'm talking business here, like how much business they're doing.
Yeah. It's probably ROH being number 2 because they're doing definitely more business than Impact. They're doing more business than
MLW,
New Japan. New Japan only does a couple shows, so you can't really count them, I guess. But in my own list, I would have New Japan's number 2.
Yeah. I think the day AEW starts, it's going to overtake it. It's going to have better television. I started hearing stuff about that this week. It's going to have definitely better television. So,
yeah, it's supposed to be around October sometime.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll see. I see some dark days for Ring of Honor coming ahead.
I do. I do as well. Hopefully they can, as you said, right the ship. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's getting a little late for that.
So that was the MSG show. I thought it was awesome. Too long for me, but you know.
Yeah, way too long. I wanted to watch more wrestling, and when I looked at the time, I was like, holy fuck. So then me and Travis just watched like a couple things from the Hall of Fame. We just wanted to see Bret Hart get tackled and see what happened after, and then we wanted to see the DX one. And I mean, it was fun.
I didn't really fucking watch any of it.
Triple H Triple H was saying that you can't thank Vince McMahon. And that's one of the things you can't do. It's written down somewhere backstage. And he said he'll fire him. And then Billy speaks up and is like, well, you can't fire me because he works for AEW.
Right.
And then Triple H basically said that Vince will buy that piss ant company just to fire you or something like that.
Yeah.
Does he not realize that the cons have more money than McMahon?
Oh, I don't know. It's just like, you know, oh, grandpa's being edgy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. We better keep moving because this show's already seems long. Maybe it's because we had tech problems forever.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting there.
I just feel like we've
been
recording this show fucking all day long.
It feels like it started roughly around like a little after 10 my time, and we're at close to 1.
Good fucking Lord. Let's move on to the news.
Ooh. This week in the news, a man in a Rastafarian hat tackles Bret Hart and more. Over to you, Jim.
I'm Jim Vicious, and this is news to you. Attacked Bret Hart, tackled Bret Hart.
Yes.
Yes. I looked at that guy's Twitter. He seems like a real fucking winner.
He's a piece of work, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm glad there was many. Travis Brown beat the piss out of him. And so did Davey Boy and Dash Wilder.
Dude, Wilder fucking just folded that dude up.
Yeah, just all while wearing a Hart Foundation jacket too, which made it all that much better.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, pretty good shit. I mean, what else do you see anything else from that? Yeah, I guess you mentioned it.
Yeah, no, that's the only two things I've seen. Brett, you know, was Brett after it all happened. Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like they missed an opportunity to have Brett say, well, I thought I'd taken my last bump in a ring, but cause he got pulled down hard.
some of this isn't even really fucking news. Zack Ryder and Chelsea Green announced their engagement. Good for them.
Good for them. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
That chick, remember how hot she looked in fucking Lucha Underground?
Yeah.
I just had like a fucking full on bone for that chick in there. But like, I don't know. She looks hot until like after she has a match and then she looks weird. I don't know. It's like she looks hot, but sometimes she looks weird. It's like a 50-50. You never know what you're going to get.
It could be why she had adopted that crazy lady gimmick. I guess. Yeah. I mean, it worked for her.
What is that? So congrats to them after I like shit on her. I'm not shitting on her. I like her, actually. I thought she was badass in Lucha Underground.
Yeah, I'm a fan of her work.
Yeah, for the 5 minutes that she was there. The Amazing Red has announced his retirement this week.
I had no idea he was still working.
Yeah, well, I guess he's been doing some stuff. That's a guy I like. It just really reminds me of that era of wrestling, right? When the indie wrestling was kind of first really coming out and all these dudes doing crazy shit. Dudes who wouldn't be in the big companies, you know, because they're too small and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Jack Evans, you had, you know, Amazing Red. There was a tag team, the SATs. I don't know if you remember them.
Really?
Joel and Jose Maximo. They were pretty good. They were with Amazing Red. They were a team. I can't remember what they were called, but they were a team. Then you had like Trent Acid.
Trent Acid, yeah, who's gone now.
I loved him and Johnny Cashmere as the Backstreet Boys or the Backseat Boys or the whatever the fuck they call themselves.
Yeah, dude, yeah, kind of really took me back. So he's a guy who's super talented and is just like a lot of people just never know, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and then you got John Cena doing his move, Code Red. Right.
It'll be interesting. I'll have to take that one to the Suplex City Limits Hall of Fame board. Amazing Red SCL Hall of Famer. That'll be the debate. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, I think that should be a thumbs up, I think. Mm.
Let's see. AEW, of course, did sign Jim Ross. That took like 2 days.
Yes.
Big shock there.
Yeah, he was without job for just mere hours.
All right. They also got Justin Roberts, the ring announcer. He's great. I like him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Alicia Tout, who's done some backstage shit for Impact and stuff. She'll be their backstage announcer.
Yeah,
she's interviewer, been, if you will.
She's been good on the things I've seen her do on Impact. You know, she's more lively. You know, she's not just a stick in the mud.
Yeah. Well, she's not a robot.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I like Justin Roberts. He liked to put sauce on shit and they wouldn't let him, you know, they'd bitch about how he said certain things and it's like, fuck.
That's what made me love Justin Roberts. It's just, he's Howard Finkel. You know what I mean? He boasterizes his voice and just makes it so much different than what it is. Tony Chimmel was the same thing too. I really liked him.
And two Roberts left and he had stories to tell you how fucked up that company is too.
Yeah.
Getting bullied by wrestlers and shit. Like, dude, I'm a ring announcer. Go fuck yourself, man.
Like, why? Why?
Cocksuckers. Van Damme signs an agreement with Impact. The Usos sign a new deal.
Yeah, it's not that I didn't assume they were leaving the WWE. Because I mean, that's where they've been. That's all they know, really.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would love to see a Young Bucks Usos match.
Yeah. It's another one of those examples to me where it's like, what else can they do there? There's nothing left for them to do.
No.
You know, you might as well just let them go and sign them back in the fucking 3 years or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, WWE doesn't want to do that right now. You know what I mean? Just
well, of course
especially
not.
At the
of
beginning.
Course not.
But, I mean, down the road, it's got to happen at some point in time. Has to.
Yeah. And just WWE has a WWE studio show to premiere on FS1 this fall.
Yes, that Ryan Satin wants to be a part of.
Oh, of course. I thought that was so great. He just like, oh, I'd love to be a part of this. Like, yes. Thank you for confirming what everyone's known. All your shit is just really trying to get a job there.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So if you want to take Ryan Satin's word for clout, go for it.
Yeah. That is pretty much the news. From there, let's move on to everyone's favorite segment, Mark Tank, after a word from our sponsor.
Join Nature Boy Ric Flair, the Total Package Lex Luger, Sting, and many other superstars of World Championship Wrestling for a once-in-a-lifetime experience on the Bruise Cruise. Sail on the MS New Amsterdam from Tampa November 30th. And not only will you visit the exotic beaches off Key West, Cozumel, Grand Cayman, and Ocho's Rios, Jamaica, but you can be part of special WCW events, including beach parties, wrestling events, and photo and autograph sessions. Make your Bruise Cruise reservations now.
Have the time of your life on the Bruise Cruise. Woo!
A book is a guy that pays his last $20 on crack cocaine. A book is a guy that believes that OJ did do it. And a book is each and every one of you.
Mark Tank, where we read Mark's comments from social media as they are typed for your entertainment. Let's start up with Zach Madsen, the guy who tackled Bret Hart. Tweeted this 3 days ago. What's going on here, Triple H? Do none of my messages transmit to you? Look, maybe I spoke out of turn and you're not in charge. Great job with NXT. Now tell me who is in charge. It's damn near Sunday and Zach still has bills to pay.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
This guy's a madman.
He reminds me of that dude who wiped shit on the NXT building and stuff.
Yeah. These weird. That's weird.
The only difference is they fucking should have shot this guy.
I bet you his favorite song is Stand by Eminem.
Let's see. Our boy JD Roberts sent this one over. Pretty good. Velu Prab Hakaran. at the Elite. Okay, whatever. He says, to replying to Tangaloa, he says, fucker, fuck you, dumbass. They are on the show of New Japan Global and G1 Supercard. How they come to be enter you, you fucking Tangaloa. If you want to fuck WWE, well, fuck it. Respect the independent country wrestling.
That there's a lot to unbox there.
Like, yeah, like what? That's him responding to Tangaloa, like bitching about Enzo and Cass.
Yes. Yeah. It's, yeah, it's, I don't know that. I don't even know what he's trying to say. It's a long, convoluted way to say "fuck you, Tangaloa."
How they come to be enter you, you fucking Tangaloa.
And this was from Tamatonga, not even Tangaloa. Like they were responding to Tamatonga, and they called him Tangaloa.
Yeah. I don't know. That's good shit. Let's see what else we got. Our boy JG Jr. Send this one over. Gavin Essence. Much love to you, sir. Sent this one over from Dr. Extreme. Ooh. Says, Bret Hart, what happened to Bret? Just can't be a random attack. I'm waiting for the attacker to admit that he was paid to do this. History between Bret and Vince still may not be 100%. Again, why a ring and not on a stage? Just odd.
I will say they'll never do that ring thing ever again.
Dude, the conspiracy theories, man. It's so great. Here's another one. Cav Trooper 67 says the attack on Bret Hart was staged. Used to get trending on social media and detracts from G1 Supercard show going on right now.
Okay.
Oh, this one's great. Renee Sergey, 21. She must have been watching the Hall of Fame during the show. She said, did the Honky Tonk Man even wrestle? Give me Tori Wilson in DX, please. That is what I want to see.
I've seen that. What a fucking dumb twat.
And the answer to that question is sort of.
Kinda. He almost wrestled.
Kinda.
He's related to Jerry Lawler.
Michelle, Shield Fan 15. There you go. Should let you know what you're getting into. Iconics win one of them, cheat during a match. Cheating holding the hand so they get the pin is not the way to win matches.
Cheating holding the hands. What is she even talking about?
I don't know.
Like, what is there a certain match she's referencing?
Maybe that shit show on SmackDown.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. This dude, he basically proposed, you know, Lesnar going over or something.
Okay.
Which this guy, I don't know this person's name, but he sent me a screenshot. He says, go fucking die. Seth is the king and will win the championship off that shit ass Brock. Fuck you for believing otherwise. Believe that bitch.
Man, he sounds like he's going to shank him.
Imagine taking wrestling that serious, dude.
Oh, dude. But there's people. There's a lot of them, too.
Yeah.
They're fucking Looney Tunes, man.
Oh, boy. Let's see. We got to send some, by Andrew Vaughn on Twitter. I was like arguing with some chick and blocked, and he continued on the fight. And so he got to see these and sent these over.
What was the argument about?
Basically, I posted that thing on where there's this terrible botch this week by Sasha.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, something about the, something like, tell me more about. And because it's on them too. And then, so I got a lot of heat for that.
Yeah. I mean, cause you can't say anything bad about the women.
Yeah. That gay teen OW says, this is the thing people will call women like Alicia bad when she gets no opportunity to prove anything. If she was given a 30-minute match with Naomi, it would be pay-per-view main event worthy, period. And I never said Maryse was all that. But she's pretty decent and her matches.
Oh boy, this guy is cuntstruck, eh?
It's a girl.
Oh, well she's cuntstruck.
Yes.
She's gotta be in love with these girls.
Yeah. I agree with you, but this is same girl. Different tweet. I agree with you, but Alicia is great in the ring, and Maryse was good. Oh, this one must have been before that. And was good too, but I agree with Eva and Rosa.
What the fuck?
She agrees they are bad. Alicia's super talented on the mic and in the ring, but doesn't get to showcase her ability. All the girls backstage know she's talented, and WWE knows it too. But WWE knows how good she is at putting over people since she is the best female seller of all time.
Oh, wow. That's some high fucking praise, bro. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. I don't know. Dude.
That's blowing my mind that there's somebody out there that actually does believe this.
Yeah. And that's another one. I didn't save her tweets, but she's a fucking mark, so I'll talk about her too. I don't know her name offhand. I just tweeted out this thing like during Okada and White, there was this guy and he's like arguing. You can tell like he's having fucking woman problems in the front. And I was like, oh, should have left her at home, bro. And this chick's like,
what if she's arguing with him and should have left him at home?
Who bought the front row tickets to a New Japan event? I probably probably it's the dude that wanted to bring her, not the other way around.
Yeah. How 2019 of you. Yeah. It's like, I'm sick of women being slighted by male wrestling. It's like, dude, calm the fuck down. If somebody makes a joke like, oh, I hate society. I fucking hate people.
It's pretty shitty.
Like, oh, the plight of the fucking white woman. You've had it so tough in life, haven't you? What is this thing? It's like, have there been bullshit things against women? Sure. But like, are we going to act like women don't rule the world? White women don't fucking rule everything?
I mean, everybody needs to have their fight. You know what I mean? Everybody needs to feel like they're fighting for something. It's I feel like this is the reason why religion was invented, so that people would be busy with other shit. And now that people aren't with religion, now they need to find something else to bitch about. It's a shame. Fucking shame.
It's a fucking shame. And this week's Mark Tank winner. Let's see. So I said, somebody said sometime we have a fucking conversation about the abilities of the Iconics in the ring. And then someone says the same thing about Sasha Banks in the ring. And this guy is defending Sasha Banks, Stiano Talk. And he says, she's one of the greatest ever at a very young age. She's 27 and has had at least 4 of the greatest top 10 matches ever under her belt.
Oh, wow. That's another, like, are you sure this is not the same person with the Alicia Fox account?
No, this is somebody else.
Are you 100% sure? I feel like you're not 100% sure. This has to be.
No, I am 100% sure. This is Stiano Talk. So that's our Mark Tank, but I felt like I had him on the fucking line, you know, like I had a fish. So I was like, oh yeah, tell me your top 10 matches, bro. And he did. And to clarify, he was talking about women's WWE matches, which, like, what a wasteland category.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, what was this number one? Sasha and Bayley.
I don't know if it's in order, really, but there's Ember versus Asuka 2, Sasha versus Bayley, Brooklyn, Sasha versus Bayley, Iron Woman match. He was put Iron Woman in there. Sasha versus Becky versus Charlotte Mania. Charlotte versus Becky Evolution. Like, who even remembers all these?
Wow. That's apparently women's wrestling has only been around for 2 years.
No, there's one old one, dude. Oh. Trish versus Lita Raw.
Give me a fucking break.
Yeah, because he saw that one, I'm sure, you know, talked about recently.
Neither Trish nor Lita was a good wrestler.
That match is dumb. Like, fucking Lita almost killed herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Par for the course.
Mark Tank.
I mean, she sucked dick to get trained. I mean, do you expect the greatest training?
Yeah. So that's our Mark Tank. What's going down in the Federation, man?
I released the episode Hog Wild on Patreon. Forgot that I did it and did not upload to the regular feed, so that came out on Friday. Sorry, guys. That's just a busy WrestleMania week and moving, and so sorry about that. But our next episode is in the can, and that's with a Patreon subscriber who wanted us to do WWF Invasion 2001. So we did it with him, and they'll be out in a couple weeks, and you'll be good to go.
There you go. Check that shit out, everywhere podcasts are found. If you like this show, you love that show. MoFudge.com, everywhere else. On the SCL Network side of things, pay-per-view take two. Our next episode coming soon will be WrestleMania 11. This is Bam Bam Bigelow versus Lawrence Taylor.
God, love it.
Yeah. And shout out to our boy Joe Justice. He hit the money mark tier, and he chose TNA Victory Road 2009.
Is that with Sting and Hardy?
I don't think it is, actually. No. Oh, that was my first 10. Thought, but I don't think it is. I'm not sure 10. Yet. I'm not looking ahead. I'm going to watch that show as I do with everything on, you know, I don't look at anything ahead of time. I just watch it as it happens. So
I feel it. We'll I mean, that's a naive way to go into it.
That's why I like it. Yeah, I like to do that way. So I write all my notes, you know, just on a first watch.
Oh, so. I remember this show. Oh, this works in well with recent happenings, Jim.
Good. There you go. Good. That'll be coming up soon. Our first venture into TNA. We've been wanting to do that, so that will be fun.
Jesus Christ, Jim.
Jesus. Bad, huh?
Oh, I know why this is on here now.
Oh, boy. Us at
the Federation have covered the highlight of the show.
And oh, man, it's going to be fucking bad. You guys only watch bad shit.
If we've done it, then you know you're in for a treat because it's bad. Can I just tell you what matches on there? Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
It's Jenna Maraska taking on Charmel. It's the minus five stars match. Oh,
that's that negative five stars match.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's just one piece of the pie.
Oh, boy. Well, that's coming up. So that should be a fucking fun time. Here's a good time to give a shout out to our friends at THT Wrestling Podcast. Shaheen Boxman over there. Wednesdays live on Mixlr. Also live on Wednesdays on Mixlr. Get in the corner. Yuck, nasty. Dog a baby. Shout out to Nuclear Heat Graphics. Check them out for all kinds of awesome pro wrestling artwork. Sat Pod, The Strap, Shooting the Shiznit, Wrestling's High Marks. We miss you, Bobby Anthem. I got Bobby Anthem's text phone number. I texted him this week. So it's good to hear from him. He responded. Spoiler, I guess. It's not like I got it. I'm texting him like, fuck you, talk to me, and he won't.
Although it would be hilarious if that's the way it was.
He just ghosts it, yeah.
And then we'd have the Bobby Anthem update every week. Did he text like, back? No.
He's like, new phone, who dis? So yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's other shit we should be giving shout out. Oh, dude, shout out to our homies at Comedy Suplex.
Yes.
Mikey G, Peach Machine. I guested with them on Thursday. Kind of did a little preview. Their show's only a half hour long. I was like, how the fuck? So like, how am I going to get all my spots in here? Shit.
You're like Will Ospreay.
No, but that's a super fun show. I suggest checking them out. It's kind of weird. It's like me talking about wrestling with two dudes who actually wrestle. Not just a fucking fat stone shithead. It's fun.
Fantastic.
What a weird world we live in. So yeah, check that out. Dude, WrestleMania. I mean it's gonna happen. It's happening
in like 3 hours.
I don't know. Probably started already, let's be honest.
The pre-show starts in like 2 hours probably.
Maybe disgusting.
One. Yeah, it is. It's gross.
Plan to start late and fast forward a bunch of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That's the reason why this episode came out the day of WrestleMania and not the day after WrestleMania like last year.
Yeah, someone texted me like, hey, I want to take you out to dinner on Sunday evening. You free? I'm like, yep.
For sure.
For a free meal? Fuck yeah, dude. That's it. I don't know. You got anything else?
No. Don't be like that Rastafarian kid at the Hall of Fame. Don't tackle.
Don't be a dick.
Guys that's gone through strokes and shit and weak wrists. Stu Hart won't. And cancer, yeah. I mean, do we have to get Stu Hart to come here next week to give you guys a proper, you know, lashing and stretching?
Yeah, stretching would come. If you guys don't fucking act better, Stu Hart's going to show up and stretch all you out.
Yeah, and I'll tell him where each and every one of you motherfuckers live.
Anyone who's bought a shirt from us, we could probably find the info. Sending Stu over there.
Yeah,
I think that's going to do it. As always, thank you very much for listening, supporting the show, buying the t-shirts, and all that shit. Until next week, we'll be back. We'll talk a little WrestleMania, Raw, sure we'll after WrestleMania, and so on. We'll see where Ring of Honor goes with their first set of. Oh, maybe they're not taping new shit right away, huh?
I don't know if they're taping new shit right away. No. Who knows?
Oh, I'm definitely tuning in to the first new taping to see how much of a shit show that ends up being.
It's Crash Entertainment for sure now for me.
No.
Let's see how fuck
Impact has a pay per view coming up here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's I'm not going to watch that.
Just straight up, yeah. I don't know why that popped me so hard. Yeah, I'm not gonna watch that. Awesome. Well, that is it as always. Until next time, may you get all of the dick and or pussy you desire. Remember, a winner is you, and most importantly, be fucking excellent to each other.
And Bret Hart.
Sure.
Was possessed. One more buried thought.